the cost of gasoline. It amounts to about a $10,000 to $15,000 differential of the purchase price. So effectively, our car is like buying a $35,000 gasoline car. It's not really not much more than a Ford Taurus. So I think when you look at this car, you look at this car and say, would you rather have this car or something like a Ford Taurus? Because that's really the basis of comparison. And I think so we're really starting to get into the realm of mass market affordability. Probably a lot of people have heard about the fact that we're also working with companies like Daimler to provide very low cost electric cars. We have been able to do 1,000 electric smart cars, and that's potentially going to lead to a much larger production volume. That's really a car that almost anyone can afford. The reason I and the rest of the team at Tesla put so much effort into creating this company and trying to move forward is really trying to accelerate the electric car revolution, trying to get us off oil as soon as possible. If we could have made a mass market car right off the bat, we would have done that. But it took time to get to the car that you're about to see today. An enormous amount of effort on the engineering side, an enormous amount of effort on the design side, and just as you're going to production engineering, it's going to really be a lot of hard work, but we're very confident in being able to meet our price targets and to deliver a car that is really going to be well received by the market. The way that we've approached this product and the improvements, we wanted a car that was extremely functional, very beautiful, and also addressed as much as possible the range of challenges associated with electric cars. So from the range standpoint, we're addressing that in three ways. By offering a battery pack that has up to a 300-mile range, by offering a 45-minute fast charge, and by offering a battery pack that is in the floor plan between the two axles and can be switched out very quickly. In fact, it can be switched out faster than you can pull a gas tank. That's the threshold of speed. So that allows for the possibility of battery pack swap stations. And you don't even need to have that. If you've got a 45-minute fast charge and a 300-mile range, then you can drive for 300 miles, stop for a meal. When you come back from the meal, you recharge and continue your journey. If you were to stop before breakfast, you could be halfway across the United States by the time you went to sleep. So I think that goes a long way towards addressing the range issue. As for the design aesthetics, you'll see it for yourself, and I'll leave that to Franz to go into. He's done an amazing job. But from a functionality standpoint, we've created a car here which is not just beautiful, but also has tremendous utility. It's got cargo capacity more than any other sedan, more than most SUVs, in fact. One of the acid tests of this car is that you should be able to take a mountain bike and put it in the car without even taking the front wheel off. You should be able to also put in a surfboard and also a 50-inch TV. This car will carry 7 people, about 5 adults and 2 children. The two rear occupants are rear-facing like the old station wagon. And because we put the powertrain in the floor pan, there is no, there's nothing under the front hood except a second trunk. So you can actually put 7 people and luggage in this car. It doesn't look possible, but it is. So I think that those are the main things. I think this is, people are going to love this car, and you can do it yourself. I'll pass it over to the front.
Thanks, Ivan. Everybody, welcome to Tesla Design. 6-7 months ago, we brought design into Tesla, vertically integrated design into Tesla. This is our first statement, if you want to call it that. We're actually in the space where these vehicles were created, where the hard work of our team, as we started from nothing and began to build this car, is all taking place. So it's amazing to see the transformation, but we're all here to see the car, so why don't we uncover it and we can talk about it. Welcome to Model X.
Can you send it to those email addresses?
This whole idea about uncompromised design has led us to a classic modernity, is what I call it. And I think you can see that in the character of this vehicle. So we're going to drive it out of here. We're going to invite you to ask a few questions before we do that. Talk about design, talk about anything else you want? Questions? Yes, when you put your deposit down, you can drop it. Absolutely. There's a question on pricing.
So the interior on this one's a complete fake mock-up. It's all styrofoam.
But are there any of these that have good interior?
I'll repeat the question, so that's what was asked. The question is, where are we going to manufacture the vehicle? The location will be Southern California. We have a term sheet on a location. We can't divulge the location until the contract is signed, but we've negotiated terms on a location. not in the SpaceX rocket factory.
Probably for the manufacturer.
Relatively close by. Question is, what happened to San Jose? The trouble with San Jose was it was a greenfield location, and one of the criteria for the ATVM program, which is the Department of Energy's Advanced Technological Vehicle Manufacturing Program, is that they give preference to 20-year-old manufacturing facilities. So we just could not prejudice our application there by going to the greenfield. And that also would have extended the time that's marked up the car. So in the absence of a greenfield, we weren't able to find a suitable 20-year-old manufacturing facility in the Bay Area, which prompted us to move to just look at Southern California, which is the next closest location. Powertrain engineering will certainly still remain in the Bay Area.
Sorry?
It will sort of balance. So. Sorry? Oh, yes. So the approach we've taken to the interior interface is to really try to get rid of buttons and knobs and sort of the buffer of confusion that you normally see. So we've just reduced it to two screens. One display screen in the front, and then one center tension anode touch screen in a simple console. And that dynamically configures itself, and according to your wants and needs, you can scan it according to your preferences, just as you can sort of scan your cell phone or your you can have a different theme. It's also 3G connected, so it's always wireless. It's wirelessly connected.
That's all I'm saying.
You can do a Google search on the central screen. It's a full-fledged computer.
You can go in like that.
It's got a full web browser, and you can access pretty much anything on the web on the central screen. The car can also do remote diagnostics, so if something goes wrong, you just give us permission to look at what's going on in your car, and it will report that back to the service center. We can tell you what needs to happen, and we may even be able to fix it remotely via our software patch, but if not, we can expedite the repair process by knowing ahead of time what needs to be done on your car.
No, this is like an Austin Martin mic. I thought it was.
It's either so seven nice. People or
so the name is another like
glass roof.
That's so nice. It's like the with the Rapide, right?
Not quite that good.
I got to get out my checkbook now. That's the problem.
Are you actually going to buy one?
So the question was, how are we getting going to get 300 miles of range with this car? Considering that we actually get 244 with the Roadster right now. So there's a couple of ways we're doing that. The battery pack, first of all, has more cells. This is about an 8,000 cell pack as opposed to a 6,800 cell pack with the Roadster. We're also going to be, we made improvements in the mass efficiency of the pack, the volumetric efficiency of the pack. Volumetrically, it's about a 50% improvement in energy. And the we're using a more advanced cell chemistry as well. And the that more advanced cell chemistry on a per cell basis amounts to about a 20% improvement. And then you've got more cells. And then the other thing that helps is that the drag coefficient of this car is actually much better than the Roadster. So even though it's a bigger car, it has a lower drag coefficient. We don't have a final number, but it's we're hoping for something around a 0.26, 0.27 drag coefficient, something in that range, as opposed to, I think, we're about a 0.35 with the Roadster. 0.35 with the Roadster, yeah. Yes, it's definitely still with me in my eye. Sorry, what? Yes, the question was how quickly will we get to 20,000 units a year? I think we'll get to an annualized run rate of 20,000 a year about 12 months after starting production. So our target is to start production in the third quarter of 2011. So that means sometime around mid-2012 is when we would hit an annualized rate of 20,000.
Is that LCD or is that
yes.
Like OLED or something?
LCD.
Thanks.
Yeah, there's a federal tax credit of $75 for electric vehicles. So it's actually basically also affects plug-in hybrids, and it kind of caps out at a certain kilowatt hour battery pack. But there's a $7,500 federal tax credit that applies to cars that have a battery pack about a certain size. And so the nominal price would be $57.4, but the price as far as consumer is concerned is $49.9. And we've really worked super hard to try to make this as affordable as possible. And then, like I said, when you factor in the cost of gasoline versus electricity, in fact, one of the things I want to do is put a calculator on the website so you can actually put in the numbers yourself and say, okay, well, what do you think gasoline is going to be? What are your electricity rates? How long do you think you'll own the car? Actually, if you take leasing into account, it doesn't matter how long you own the car, if you see the savings from day one. So, but just put a calculator on our website so people plug in their guesses at what things will be, and then that will tell you what the equivalent cost of gasoline and power is. $4. Yeah. And I think it's highly likely we will receive $4 in 2 or 3 years. Okay, so the question was, what I think the infrastructure requirements and all that. I don't know if there are any hard requirements in infrastructure improvements for the bottlenecks. You know, even at 20,000 cars a year, we won't come close to affecting the electricity grid. And this car will be just like the Roadster, you'll be able to charge this car at home. The charge is built into the car. So you can charge it from a 110, a 220, 240 volts, 400 volts. You know, it's capable of taking a wide range of input currents and voltages. But very importantly, the charge is built into the car. So you don't have to wonder, oh, is there a charger in the destination that I'm going to? Obviously, the higher power chargers, you won't be able to do that from home because most homes don't have that level of power. But up to about a 240 volt, 70 amp connection, you'll be able to do that at home. And that'll charge your car in roughly 4 hours. Sorry? Oh, yeah. So the question was with respect to option packages. There will be a lot of option packages. We haven't yet decided on what those will be. The only one that we haven't decided on that's fairly significant is that there will be different sizes of battery pack. So there will be a 160-mile, a 230-mile, and a 300-mile range battery pack. And to be clear, the 49,900 will be the 160-mile range battery pack. However, if you do get that, you can always upgrade the battery pack later. And we're also thinking about potentially having a long-range battery pack that you can rent for trips. So if you're but most people don't drive more than about 30 miles a day. But if you want to say, just get the 160-mile range pack, and then you're going to have a trip, rent the 300-mile range pack, and bring it back afterwards, it's probably the most efficient thing to do. Well, the 49,900 is inclusive of the battery, to be clear, but it's inclusive of the 160-mile range battery. We plan to offer leasing of the whole car, and if people want it, leasing just of the battery pack. We're also not opposed to others doing leasing arrangements on our cars or financing our cars. If they can do it at a lower cost of capital than we can, all the better for the customer. Yeah, absolutely. So today we sell the Roadster in Europe and North America, and we'll be actually starting to sell the Roadster probably in Asia, maybe taking orders towards the end of this year for delivery next year. As far as the Model S is concerned, in the first year of production, it'll probably be North America and Europe. Second year of production, April. Okay, so the question is, what's the warranty in the battery pack? How long do we expect the battery pack to last? And how much will it cost to replace? We haven't finalized the warranty, but I would expect it to be something like a 3 or 4 year warranty on the whole car, something like that. In terms of expected life of the pack, it would be on the 7 to 10 year range. With the improved battery chemistry, we are actually, I want to be a little cautious about making a firm prediction. I actually think it will be closer to 10 years than 7. And in terms of replacement cost of the battery, it's difficult to predict that number exactly because you're talking about pretty far into the future. But I think it's going to be a pretty low number. Yeah, certainly well under 500 kilowatt hour, definitely. Yes. Yes, we are expecting to sell the Model S in Japan, probably for delivery in 2012. So we do need to have some restrictions in our initial markets to avoid too much complexity. But I would say probably no later than 2012 in Japan. It may be the latter half of 2012, but it should be 2012. And then, of course, the Tesla Roadster, the sports car, we are hoping to start taking orders in Japan later this year for delivery next year. Our current plan is to sell integrated sales and service centers, although it's possible that we may elect to do franchises in certain markets. Yes, we expect to open a lot more sales and service centers, probably, you know, on the order of 40 in the U.S., probably a similar number in Europe and Asia. We'll start taking orders, you know, via the web, well before that, but we'll do both, you know, internet orders as well as in-store orders. I mean, you sort of like the way that Apple operates, where they, you can buy the man online or you can buy from an Apple store. I like that approach. Sorry? Oh, okay, yeah, absolutely. So we're expecting to have a 0 to 60 time for the standard Model S, a 0 to 60 time of under 6 seconds. So somewhere between 5.5 and 6 seconds. And then a top speed, which will be electronically limited at about 130 miles an hour. We will also be offering sport versions of the sedan. Not in the first year, but probably, you know, around the second, later in the second year of production, we'll start offering sport versions of the car. We also want to look at potentially offering an all-wheel drive version of the car as well. And the sport version of the car would have an acceleration, 0 to 60 acceleration, well under 5 seconds. Sure, well, you'll have an opportunity to sort of feel what the rider handling and balance is like in this prototype. And I do want to set expectations appropriately that you are driving the initial prototype. So you can expect to see a lot more refinements and the nuances and details of the production version. So, you know, of course, people are getting evaluating this car, every detail of this car, as though it's the final production version, because it's not. But you'll still get a good sense of ride handling and so forth. You know, I'm a big believer in having excellent ride handling. I think, you know, the way that, say, the Mercedes or BMW, handling is probably, our aspiration for handling will be something like comparable to, say, a BMW 5 Series or a Mercedes CLS. The weight distribution will be biased towards the rear, and that'll certainly result in good acceleration. I wouldn't comment on the precise number because I would say there's a little bit of movement there. It's probably on the 55, 45 as a rough approximation in the rear. And this will also have traction control like the most of this. And if anyone has seen the traction tests that we did on an isolated Sweden of the Motor this is really good videos, but on the Tesla website, you'll see that the car has pretty phenomenal traction because we measure the speed on the front wheels, we measure the speed on the rear wheels, and we adjust it hundreds of times per second, which is much faster than you can do really with a gasoline car. So as a result, when you look at those handling tests, they're pretty amazing because the ability to adjust torque so quickly on an electric motor is something that you can't really do very well on a gasoline system or traditional. So we are expecting to only have a single-speed transmission. I think that's, you know, the nice thing about an electric motor is you can actually either make the transmission mechanical or electromagnetic. In effect, you can either say we're going to allow this thing to just really flow a lot of current, rather than have multiple mechanical transmissions. So the numbers I talked about would be with just a single speed transmission. And it simplifies things, it's lighter, it's less to go wrong, the efficiency is greater because you're not spending any unloaded gears and that kind of thing. Yeah, the body panels will be primarily aluminum, and the core chassis will be primarily aluminum. We're targeting a weight of just over 4,000 pounds for the car. So it's going to be a weight comparable to other sedans, although we've obviously had to make the body lighter and the other structural components lighter to compensate for the battery pack mass. Exact battery mass will depend on which battery pack you've gotten, but it's somewhere in the order of 1,200 pounds. Depending on battery mass. Well, I think I should point out that the production volume that we're talking about, 20,000 units a year, which is huge for electric cars, is still small for the global car market. So, meanwhile, this would compete for buyers of premium, mid-range premium sedans. It's not something that's going to displace a huge amount of their sales. So I wouldn't want to sort of characterize this as as any kind of category killer or anything like that. It's, what we're really hoping this car will do is show the car industry that it's possible to create a very compelling electric car at a compelling price. And so we're hoping to set a good example, and we're hoping that that other car manufacturers will follow our lead and speed up the conversion of their gasoline cars to electric. The reason that, as I said, the reason that myself and the rest of the team have put so much effort into Tesla is to try to accelerate the electric car revolution. It's incredibly important that we wean ourselves off of oil as soon as possible. There's environmental damage taking place constantly as a result, and some of it may be irreparable already, and that's we should. It's just incredibly important that we make that transition rapidly.
If you
So the financing situation for the manufacturing plant and Model S I'll give you the complicated explanation, which hopefully will link then into this still. There are two Department of Energy loan programs. One is the Title 17 program. This is something that was initiated about 4 years ago. The first of those awards was just granted to a company called Solyndra. The Department of Energy, about 2 years ago, about 18 months ago, down-selected the initial applicants to that program to just 16 companies. Solyndra was one, Tesla was one. If we wish to proceed on that program, I believe there's no obstacle, apart from completing the basic technical and financial due diligence, there's no obstacle to us getting that money. So if we wanted to proceed and get that money, we could do so. That would be for something on the order of $250 million. But I believe that could be fairly characterized as closer to a when than an if. Then there's the second program. That's called the ATVM program, or the Section 136 program. This program has not yet had a down select. However, it is more suitable to Tesla because it's specifically intended for cars and for energy efficient cars. And the terms are a little bit better. Under that program, we would potentially get $350 million. So the amount of private venture capital we need is less. And the terms are better as well. I'm highly confident that there will be a selection, that Tesla will be selected under that program, and that selection will occur this year, and that the time frame that selection is something measured in single digit months. I'm trying to get cautious
is the ATVM program, the Master Dynamic Vehicle Manufacturing Program. Plan B is the Section 7 or the Title 17 program. Plan B has gone through an announcement process. Plan A is not. So if by some bizarre situation we don't get a program for which we're perfectly suited, then we will have Plan B. So, but I think the important thing that people should take away from this is that this car will be manufactured. It will come to market. They should have zero doubt about that.
Excuse me, is right-hand drive going to come out at the same time as left-hand drive?
Right-hand drive will come out a little after the left-hand drive. So it will probably be, I don't know, sometime the same year.
So will you be selling in the UK your first year?
We'll take orders. I mean, people are wanting to take left-hand drive vehicles in first-year production, and it'll be in the UK in first-year production. Probably some people will, but I think we expect right-hand drive in the second year of production. So the question is, who's building the chassis and the body panels and all that? The manufacturing of the chassis and the body panels will be done by Tesla.
Through any sort of crash testing yet?
No, we've not yet started crash. Well, I should say we've done some
simulation,
electronic validation, but we've not yet done through physical crash testing. We're really looking at the first prototype of the car, the first prototype, I should say. So the crash testing, once the actual physical crash testing won't start until we have all the details sorted out for production intent, and then we'll do physical crash testing. However, the electronic crash testing, the simulations, have already started to some degree, and those will really ramp up later this year. So we want to get to the point where we're so far, where the physical crash test is simply a validation of the electronic simulation.
Can you say a little bit more about whatever safety features like ABS or ESS or this sort of thing?
So this will have anti-lock braking. Actually, the Roadster has anti-lock braking. It will have traction control. In fact, the Roadster also has traction control.
The stability control and...
This car will not need stability control. The center of mass in this car is so low because of the battery pack in the floor, and this thing will form like it's on rails. You'll need a spatula to turn this thing over.
And electronic steering, or is it power steering then?
Power assisted steering. The Roadster does not have power assisted steering because it's got a very light front. Right. This is all that we have power assisted steering.
Right.
Tesla's focus is on the car, not on the electric charging infrastructure. There are other companies that exist today that are looking at helping solve that problem, and probably other ones that will start up. If we find that those companies are not solving the charging infrastructure problem well, then Tesla will do something on that regard. But if another company is doing it well, then we don't need for us to take action.
Considering the rear child seats, how far do the side curtain airbags go back?
You're asking a really detailed question.
Sorry.
The most question is, considering the rear facing child seats, how far do the side curtain airbags go back?
A valid question if you're going to put your kid back
just
there.
Just the right amount so that they don't hurt the children. I'm going to go over the safety tests on a fine-tuned phone personally, because my kids will be in this car, and so I want to make sure that even if we get hit by a 40-ton truck, they're still okay. So this car's going to have really good safety.
So the body will be made out of aluminum?
Yes, primarily aluminum. And the chassis will also be primarily aluminum.
We may offer some options for composite body panels, but the challenge with composite body panels is that the unit cost is that would increase our unit cost. But by going to aluminum, we can have something which is a significant weight savings, but doesn't affect our cost too much.
Trying to record everything.
Yeah. Seriously, this thing's going to have a ridiculously low center of gravity.
Here's your quote. Ridiculously low center of gravity. So we're going to wrap up the Q&A, and these guys are going to drive the car, but we're going to give you guys like 10 minutes to get out there so that you can get ready. The car, like I said earlier, it's going to come out the stanchions and down the street, and then it's going to drive on the street. So if you want to get assembled anywhere along the line, that would be great, and we'll give you like 10 minutes. Thanks. And then after that, everyone will be back.